Savages, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First off, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Trust me, people, you're going to love it. Thank you. Welcome to the Savage Empire, where there are no savages in that fucking box. I'm your host, Mike Trainer. Welcome to our season-ending edition here. Our funeral. Our COVID season wrap-up. I would say therapy session, but we're not there yet. Maybe next week, maybe next episode, we'll do a therapy session. We'll give ourselves time here to grieve, be angry, feel what you need to feel. All right. Everybody's opinions here are justifiable, believe me. Was this season a failure? Absolutely. Does Boone think it was a failure? Well,
expectations were so high for this team when you entered the season. Do you look at this season as a failure because you did not reach your goal of winning a World Series?
Look, I mean, I hate that question every year because there's failures and successes, and no one in that room is a failure. Our goal is to win a World Championship. That's what we feel like we're capable of. That's the goal when we set out. Way back in Tampa in spring, and then summer camp, nothing changed. Entering the playoff, nothing changed. We have a team capable, I feel, of being a champion. We haven't gotten there yet. I believe in my heart we will, and we just got to keep grinding away at it.
Now, what do you expect him to say? Because to go up there and say it was a failure would signify and admit that they expected to win it all when you got to be professional and things like that, blah, 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 blah. But to us, it is a failure. To the players, I'm sure it's a failure. To Boone, it's a failure. To the front office, it's definitely a failure. And yes, I'll even be one of those people. If the boss was alive, it would definitely be a failure. He would even say so. The mission statement never changes from year to year. Now, Hal, I'm sure, is more about the money and the profit than he is so much about winning, as most owners are today, I'm sure. He's more businesslike than his dad. His dad would have been flipping shit last night. Game two would have never happened because he would have been like, you're out of your fucking mind. But Hal doesn't get involved like that, as far as we know. I'd love to hear his opinion on things, but he would say disappointed because that's just the kind of guy he is. Behind the scenes, I don't know. But if I was the owner, because you can't fire yourself, I would have Cashman on the phone. Now, they're not going to fire Cashman. They're not going to fire Boone. I'm not sure on Boone's contract status if he has a year left. My guess is they'll give him a contract extension. He follows the marching orders pretty well, which is how we got game two. I'm not going to do a series recap. I'm not going to do a game-by-game recap. I think it's all pretty fresh in our minds. Last night in game two in particular, because they were the most dumbfounded, painful two games of the series. I'm very angry. I'm trying to compose myself for the show, because otherwise, if I'd have recorded last night, it would have been a bunch of gibberish, tons of F-bombs, punching my desk, possibly damaging my equipment, and that would have been all you would have heard. And that would have been, yeah, great for you guys for 5 minutes worth of laughing. And I, trust me, I'd be glad to entertain, but, you know, this shit is expensive, and I don't always have that kind of money. So, unless you guys want to give the Patreon, okay. So, anyway, I'd be on the phone with Cashman, and I would say, you need to do a review of your department. Changes have to be made. There needs to be a new direction, because the last three playoff appearances ended the same way. The definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing with the same results. And those results have been failure. Failure has been the result. 11 years without a World Series ring. Now, the philosophy has changed over those past few years. But the last 5 years, it's been all analytics. Since they weeded out Jeter, weeded out a lot of the old guys that were here, the old squad, who, you know, were ball players. Because analytics would tell you otherwise. And yet those teams were better. But they shouldn't be. On paper, this team's a goddamn juggernaut. But you wouldn't know it in the playoffs. Launch angles. Strikeouts are okay. Batting averages don't matter. Take your walks or hit a home run. And yet, who was our best player over the last couple years? LeMahieu. Why? Because he hits to all fields. He's a pure hitter. And he can hit home runs if he needs to. But he's a situational hitter who knows that they're not going to give me a pitch I can tattoo over the wall. And trust me, if they do, he can hit a home run. He's got power. But if they're going to give him the outside pitch, what's he going to do? He's going to take it in the right field. You know who used to do that? Derek Jeter. Huh, worked out well for him, didn't it? Got himself into the Hall of Fame, won World Series because he could hit the other way. You go with the pitch. Now, we got guys who just want to hit home runs. And maybe they just don't want to hit home runs, but that's the philosophy of the team. That's what Marcus Timm's marching orders are. Launch angles and everything else. Strikeouts don't matter because you can't hit in the double plays if you strike out, so that's one less out you can make. That's good. That's math. Except if you don't hit the ball, there's zero possibility of getting anything done. That's math, too. Computer doesn't see it that way. I'm 39 years old. I grew up in the 80s. I grew up in the 90s. And I thought baseball was just baseball. It's just a battle of wills between competitors on a diamond. Who wants it more? Who makes the least amount of errors, mistakes? Who blinks under pressure? Who stands tall? And I feel like they've taken that out of the game. At least on this team. I truly have no words for what they need to do, but I'll try. I mean, I kind of feel like we know what they need to do. Are they going to do it? Are they willing to make adjustments? They don't have to dump analytics. All right? It's important. It is the game now, sadly. And it does help when used right, but there has to be a balance. I don't know what Aaron Boone's role is in terms of an actual in-game manager. How sad is that? Everybody's out here like, fire Boone. For what? If you fire Boone, you got to fire Cashman. And I know a lot of you are okay with that, but that's not happening. And if you fire Cashman, you fire the whole department. Which is fine. And you can do that. But then what? Cashman has given us a good chance, a good team. The players have to take responsibility here too for a lot of it because they didn't perform. If the numbers say they're supposed to do good here, and they don't, well, that's kind of on them. They do everything possible to get ahead legally in terms of what the numbers say. So we'll go out and get this guy. We get gems like Voit and Gio. But the one thing he's probably never been good enough to do, his one kryptonite, I guess, if you want to say, is starting pitching. Now, I know what you're saying. We have injuries. Before the season started, we had a great starting five, and you're right. And we have Garcia, King, and Schmidt in the pipeline, and that's good. So maybe I'm being a little too hard. But this team got punched in the mouth. And the starting pitching was not there other than Cole. He did great with Cole. Severino was hurt. And that's on the team and Severino for waiting so long to figure it out. And that's why we lost him for the whole year. Instead of last year, when he could have had the surgery, possibly would have had him back by the end of this year. Having Severino healthy, hopefully with innings built up in a playoff game, maybe makes a big difference. We don't know, but that's all speculation. It didn't matter. Paxton with the cyst, and then Paxton with the shoulder, or the elbow, whatever the fuck, was a non-factor. He's a free agent, and my guess is that he's gone. I can't see them bringing him back. Shoulder problems? No, thank you. Not for the money he's going to want. Thanks for nothing, buddy. Now, granted, we didn't trade shit for him, but Sheffield, I think, is just an average pitcher. Paxton was supposed to be better, and at times he was good, and at times he wasn't. And he was hurt, and now he's going to be gone. Tanaka, playoff Tanaka, disappeared. He looked like regular season Tanaka, which was just good enough, but not great. We needed great out of him, especially when the team is not hitting. Now, he's a free agent, and I think that loomed on his mind heavily in his last few starts, because remember his last regular season start, he said he thought he was making his last Yankee start in the season. And then that carried into the Indians game, and I know the weather had a lot to do with it, but did it? And he carried that into his last start the other day, where he didn't look good at all. He looked good enough to be tough and give you the innings and shit, but he just was not dominant playoff Tanaka. He's a free agent. What happens there? Happ is definitely not having his option picked up. They saw to that with the innings. He's gone. You're looking at a rotation right now of Gerrit Cole, Montgomery, Devi Garcia, Michael King, and Clark Schmidt, I guess. Severino won't be back until midway during the season. He's going to be on an innings limit anyway. So, how much can we really put into him until playoffs? The rest of the season is just going to be him building up his arm, getting ready for the postseason, hopefully ready to go. So they need help, needless to say. And we'll get into all that. We'll get into free agency, pitching breakdown, batting breakdown in future episodes. So subscribe, because I'm going to keep going through the offseason. We're not going to just stop. I'm not going to take a couple months off and then revamp during the spring training. No, we're going to keep going. All right, because the Yankees, there's always news. There's always news to be made. Players, signings, trades, what's going to happen to Gary? These are going to be off-season topics. They're going to be questions that are going to be answered before they get to Tampa for camp. So stick with me on that. I'm going to be trying new things. I'm going to be trying to improve my craft here. Going to be in the process of looking for a co-host too, because I feel like we need banter, we need conversation, we need different takes, we need to fully bring to you what you are thinking, because not everybody thinks the way I think here, and we'll see if we can explore other points of view, and we'll talk about it, and it'll make for interesting shows. So that's what's going to be happening, hopefully during the offseason. I want to come into next season ready to go. Improved, better, building more numbers. And thank you guys. My fan base here continues to grow. New people listening every week. I appreciate it. Thank you. Stick with me. And let's turn this thing into something special. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm very inclusive of everybody. I believe that the listeners, the people I talk to, the interactions, they make the show. You guys make the show, so you should be a part of it. Other Yankee podcasts might not feel that way. A couple of the big ones seem to not even acknowledge it. I'm not throwing any names out, not even in a coughing joke, because they get the numbers and I don't. But I'm the one who includes everybody. I do my shout outs. I do my polls. If you respond to them, I don't care if there's 30 or there's 100 responses. I'm going to read it. You took the time to answer it and say what you wanted to say. I'm going to take the time to throw that out into the ether for everybody to hear. I got fans from all over the world, apparently, which is impressive. And I appreciate you. If I knew your language, I would thank you in that language. I assume it's English, but I'm joking. So we're going to continue to grow. That's my game plan. I'm not going anywhere. You guys are the Savage Empire as much as I am. I thank you guys for listening this season. I hope you continue to listen. We're going to keep going. We're going to get better. You're going to be more involved. We're going to figure out some cool things here. All right. But back to the point, to the case in hand, the anger, because I'm off track, I'm off script. My mind is still boggled from last night. So I'm going to be jumping from here to there. But back to the original point of they need to tweak the strategy. Okay. Now, like I said, they're a home run or bust team. Re-signing DJ is a must. That's number one on the list. But also, re-signing DJ possibly hurts Glaber. Because Glaber, unless he somehow gets better, is a liability at short. That's not good. Someone said they should get A-Rod to help him. I don't believe A-Rod is on this team anymore in terms of special advisor. I think they just did that to almost justify still having to pay him. So when his contract ended, that was it. I'm pretty sure this franchise has severed all ties with him. Maybe he'll show up to an old-timers game, but that's probably about it. But he was a damn good shortstop, and maybe reaching out to him, I'm sure he would help. It's not a bad idea. And he wasn't just a good shortstop. He was a great shortstop in his day before he came here and went to third. I think some people forget that. Maybe that's not a bad idea, but somebody needs to come help him. Kind of like when we used to have Willie Randolph help Soriano. He was at second base. We need coaching that can help these guys. I don't know what's going on here, but you know, they've been, defense has not been good this year. Mostly with Glaber. Now they brought in a coach for Gary, and somehow he got worse. Because the analytical department decided that if he goes down to one knee, he can frame pitches better. And I guess stealing strikes. And the umpire can see it. Or I don't understand the reasoning behind it. Because Higgy looked like he could frame pitches. He was getting those calls. Every other catcher does the same thing. We're not inventing anything here. The one knee bullshit also prevented him from blocking balls. And he wasn't that good at it to begin with. But you severely limited him because of his mobility. When you're on one leg and the ball bounces, it makes it hard for you to get in front of it. Now he's trying to pick it. How many wild pitches got by him that he probably should have had? How many pass balls got by him that he probably should have had? At least 90%. Ruined him. His batting average, abysmal. Overmatched all year. They ruined him. Like they ruined Jabba because they got too cute. Now, essentially benched in the playoffs for Higgy. Why? Because Higgy's a way better defensive catcher, and whatever offense he gives you is a plus. We missed Gary's bat in this series. And mainly because he was overmatched his last bat appearance where he just struck out on three pitches. Like he was overmatched all year. Lost at the plate. Where did they go from here with him? Realmuto's a free agency, but that's going to cost a lot of money. How much money is this team going to spend when they have needs? They have other needs. But Gary made it so that now one of their needs is catching. Because I don't know if they can fix him. Maybe he needs a couple months to get away from it. Maybe he needs a full spring training to get his shit together. I don't know. I don't have the answers. We're definitely going to talk about it. We're going to see what happens to him in the next couple months for sure. Because this could be one of those sell low situations where they just want to move him to get what they can get. Because they got needs in starting pitching. They have needs in the bullpen. Gary made it so that the catching position is a need now. And the number one need is re-signing LeMahieu. So how much money is this team going to spend in the offseason? Now we get 21 of the $26 million from Ellsbury off the books this year. We have to pay him $5 million more next year, and that's it. We're done with him. So that's 21 extra million dollars. You basically give that to LeMahieu right off the bat and add a few more million to it. So that's not too bad. You can eat that. But they have to spend money on pitching. The guy I want is Trevor Bauer in the worst way, and that's going to cost you, but it'll be worth it. Can you imagine a Cole, Bauer, Severino combo going on right there? A healthy Severino? That'd be nice. Tell me you wouldn't want that. That'd be nice. You can get by with three good pitchers. And then you can build the other two up. But we'll get into that too. Like I said, this isn't a free agency episode. Those are future episodes. We'll break down the offensive side. We'll break down the pitching side of things that need to be done. That'll be coming up. Those are future episodes starting next week. We're just talking about the problems. They have to change their philosophy. Small ball, situational hitting. Those things will win the game. They're not sexy. They're not highlights. But they win the game. Sack flies are good. Bunting people over is good if you need to, putting people in scoring position. When you put pressure on the other team, the chances of them making the mistakes increase. When teams put pressure on us, it almost feels like because they don't play the same way that we do, that we don't know how to guard against it. Doesn't it? Doesn't it feel that way? It feels like we don't know what the hell we're supposed to do because that's not how we play. A team bunts on us. People steal on us. And we're like, whoa, what is that? We don't do that here. Bunting. Stealing bases. Our philosophy is unless you're 85% and above guaranteed rate of stealing, don't even do it. It's not worth it. Not that the situation doesn't call for it. No. It's that it doesn't compute. Bunting a guy over to put him in scoring position, well, that just gives up an out. We can't do that. We have three outs to hit a home run. That's math. Unless you're Tyler Wade, then you're expected to bunt or strike out because your bat doesn't count anyway. And that's not a knock on Wade. That's just the way it is. Teach these guys how to bunt. Teach these guys how to go with the pitch. If it's in the strike zone and it's away from you and you can swing a bat and hit it, go with it. Stop trying to pull it. That's what they want you to do. Also, I will say this. Stanton had a hell of a playoffs. All right? And I know it's going to be, what have you done for me lately? But if that man did not earn his pinstripes during this playoff series and the wild card series, then you're out of your goddamn mind. He carried this team offensively. He was a beast. He was an animal. And when he's healthy, this is what he can do. Get off his ass already. He has earned it now. You should cheer him every time he comes up. You should support him when he fails, like when Judge fails, who did absolutely nothing. What, he had three hits this postseason? Three hits, all three were home runs? It was the very definition of home run or nothing, right there. The poster boy, the supposed leader of the team. And I love Aaron Judge. And you can criticize him when it's deserved. And you can criticize Stanton when it's deserved, but you don't get to criticize him anymore when it's not deserved. Just because of the money he makes. And I'll tell you what. Obviously, he's not opting out. And I just saw this. The last 3 years, I believe that Tampa is paying $10 million of his contract. So, for all those that are concerned about the money that you're not paying, maybe that'll help alleviate some of the anger. Well, just think, in the final 3 years of his deal, it's $10 million less that the Yankees are paying towards him to, you know, to suck, as far as you guys are concerned. The guy's going to be a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. He's too good. All his milestone moments are going to come with us. 7 more years. Can we just fucking enjoy it? He tried. He has heart. He wants to win. He wants to win here. Obviously, he's not going to get the money he's making now if he opted out. He knows that. And I'm sure it was business, really. But you know what? If he wasn't about the money, he could have opted out to get out of here if he didn't feel like he wanted to win here. He would still get paid. It's not like he isn't going to get the money. And maybe somebody out there is stupid enough to give him the money. But he has something to prove, and he wants to prove it here. And we need to support that. The man was on fire. Luke Voit was hurt. It was plantar fasciitis, which I think we all knew. His foot stuff. Possible MVP of the season. Didn't do a whole lot in the playoffs. Aaron Hicks did Aaron Hicks things. Walked a couple big hits. Glaber hit. DJ hit. Gio is non-existent in this round. Bottom line is the team collectively, especially yesterday, just could not get the big hit. And you know, that's more attributed to how good the Rays pitching is. And the confidence of knowing that if our guys can just hold them, they will make a mistake, and we will make them pay. And hasn't that been the story of the last 3 years? Hasn't that been just hang with these guys, put the pressure on them, our pitching will dominate because they're a home run or bust team. Don't make the mistake. Hope we can get by. And eventually, one of their guys will make the mistake. And what did Chapman do? He made the mistake. Now, shouldn't he have struck that guy out six pitches earlier when that ball caught the corner? Yep. And bad umpiring definitely played a big part in this series. So, really, that was just textbook right there. Who didn't have that gut feeling that this fucking cocksucker was going to hit that home run? And then, you know, they win the game. And as angry as we are, and I thought for a split second when they interviewed this guy, Brousseau, he said nice things. He said the Yankees are the gold standard. They're a good team. You know, very respectful. They were trying to make the narrative of revenge. Revenge. For what? He didn't hit him. He did to him what the Rays have been doing to us for a few years now, throwing up and in, especially after we hit home runs. So we're not even a team that can defend ourselves anymore without being the villain. Like that's above us? Fuck out of here. So they're trying to make the narrative, TBS. And let me tell you, before I even finish this point, how fucking bad was TBS this year? I thought Eckersley was bad last year. Darling and that other douche. Oh my God. Case in point, when Gardner robbed that home run, you know how a normal announcer would make that an exciting play because it is? They're like, and he's got it. That's the quote. And he's got it. I think I said that with more energy than he did. What the fuck? I don't want to be one of those guys that's like, oh, the bias, the Yankee bias. But, I mean, I don't think I'm the only one who noticed that. I think a lot of us were feeling the same way. And I'm not one of those people who like to kill Joe Buck. I don't think Joe Buck is a Yankee hater. I think Joe Buck fairly calls the game using the same expression and the same like, you know, energy for both teams for the most part. This was one-sided all the way. And not that shit matters. It just makes it hard to watch the game because, you know, I put on the app so I could listen to John and Susan, which is real time and a good 20 seconds off from the live feed. So it's very hard to listen to a game and watch it on TV. Not like it used to be when there was only a few seconds. Now they have that, as I like to call, the Houston Astro delay or the Red Sox delay, so you can't decode shit in real time. So thank you for ruining that. But anyway, my point was TBS trying to make the narrative of revenge, poetic justice, sweetness, blah, 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 blah. And he handled it well. I thought, okay, that's class. And it's like, okay, they beat us. Now we're going to cheer for them to play the Houston Astros because fuck Houston. They don't get to go to try to win another World Series. Not on our watch, not on anybody's watch. So, you know, we're like, all right, we'll cheer for the Rays and then hope they lose to the Dodgers or the Braves in the World Series. That's all we can hope for. And then Tampa decides they were going to be dicks. Total heel move. Out on the field again in the dugout, hanging out after the game, drinking and smoking their cigars again. Excuse me. And trolling us with Sinatra's New York, New York, and Alicia's Keys, New York. And just being dicks. Now, the Red Sox did that a couple years ago. And you know what? We deserved it because that's what Judge did with the boombox, if you all remember that. So we deserved it. It was a little easier to swallow. This year, this team that most of us didn't even consider a rivalry Well, it's a rivalry now. And I don't know if I said this before in other earlier episodes. I think I said it. But if not, I'll say it again. I don't consider a team a rival until they beat us in the postseason, because that's when it matters. So the Red Sox are obviously a rival. They've been our rival since the beginning. Tampa was never really anything to be concerned about. They were good, not good enough. And now they kind of passed us, I guess. We took steps back this year. Now you could say shortened season, COVID. If we played the full 162, it'd be a different story. We probably don't play Tampa. I don't know if they would have had the expanded playoffs. I don't know. I mean, obviously there was different situations and circumstances that led to this, but we don't know. But anyway, they're trolling the shit out of us, which is easy to do for them. It's not like there's songs about Tampa that we can play if we had won, but they wouldn't have done that anyway. You know why? Because we would have just dismissed them as, yeah, we were supposed to win. So that bothered me. I'm sure it bothered a lot of people. Makes it hard to cheer for them a little bit. I'm going to have to kind of just swallow it and take it as, okay, motherfuckers, we'll remember that for next year. But the problem with this team is there's so many things to remember. We have to remember that the Red Sox trolled us. We have to remember that we lost to Houston last year. And luckily for us, they lost in the World Series. That Houston has owned us the last couple years and pretty blatantly dicks about it. And then now we have to remember that Tampa is a scumbag poverty franchise who just trolled the shit out of us and we had to take it. Okay. And you could say we're spiteful people, as most of us New Yorkers are. We don't like to have people get the upper hand on us. We like to be on top. So when do we get to dish out revenge? Now you can say, well, we'll have to wait on the Red Sox because they're a shit franchise right now, and just beating them doesn't even feel like sport. It just feels like that's the way it should be. Now that we lost to Tampa, they are a rival. And I will consider them a rival now, as you guys all should. They have the upper hand right now. Houston is one of our ultimate rivals, and we still need to get revenge on them. That's what this upcoming series was supposed to be, wasn't it? So yes, circling all the way back to the beginning, it is a failure. The season is a giant failure. They came into camp thinking, we're going to win. They were ultra confident in it. And then the injuries came. And then the injuries derailed us. And it wasn't like last year with the Savages in the box bullshit. Next man up. Next man up has its limits. You can't continuously do it year by year. Now you can, however, get by if you have great starting pitching and a great bullpen. Two of which they currently do not have. And that will lead us into future episodes of where do we go from here. That's the topic of the episode. Where do we go? What changes need to be made? Do they need to fire people in the analytical department? Yeah. Hire Tampa's department. Pretty sure we can outspend Tampa. Or at least take a couple of their guys and integrate shit into ours. And maybe we can improve. Maybe we can somehow get Billy Beane to come over here and help us. Not help us with free agency or anything like that, because, you know, he didn't spend money over there. So, but he continuously put together a pretty good team. I'm sure he can help Cashman. Maybe in the analytical department too. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen. But, you know, I'm trying to just throw shit out there because I don't know where they can go. I don't know if they're willing to make the changes that need to be made. Or are we just going to rinse and repeat next year and just hope that eventually it clicks, eventually everybody's on at the same time, that our pitching is dominant? That seems like a lot of hope to me. How are we going to make that a reality? When you're continuing to do the same thing over and over again with the same results, it's the definition of insanity. Where do we go? Where do we go? Keep the anger for a while. Some of you are probably going to continue to watch baseball. I'm not going to watch any of the games, really, but I'll keep up on the highlights and things like that. I'm done. I need a break. Not a break from the show. But I need a break from baseball to just... It just sucks watching it without the Yankees. It really does. I'm not one of those fans that cling to another team. I'm not one of those fans that can just enjoy the game. Don't get me wrong. I love the sport, but I love it because of the Yankees. When the Yankees aren't playing, 9 times out of 10, I don't really care who wins. The only thing I want to make sure this year is that the Houston Astros don't win. That's all I care about. Other than that, fucking Tampa wins the World Series. You know what? They deserve it. They're better than us. Dodgers win? Well, they were favored to win anyway. If Houston wins, then they can come around and validate that their title was legitimate, even though it wasn't. But they'll get to start the narrative of that. Basically spin it to what they want. Because, you know, they're the victims. Not everybody who loves the sport, not all the teams they faced, they didn't cheat anybody, right? No, they're the victims. But we've covered that. It's the only thing I want. Stay angry. Stay on top of the team. Stay involved. I'll see you guys on Twitter in the off season. We'll talk. Subscribe, listen to the show. Leave a comment. Tell your friends. Participate. Drop me some lines on Twitter at Savage Empire Pod. Like I said, this show is nothing without you guys. I appreciate the growing audience. Stay with me. You're part of the show too. It's like you have your own show. I'm your voice. Maybe I'll start interviewing some of you guys, put you guys on too. That'll be fun. Tell everybody you know who's a Yankee fan to tune in. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. I think you guys were. You're involved. And they will be too. We'll come back next week. We'll talk about if any changes have been made, if any moves have been made. We're going to talk about free agency. I haven't decided yet if we'll break it down. I'm not going to do offense. We're not going to do positional players and pitching players at the same time. I think I'm going to stretch that out. Probably we'll start with pitching. It always does, doesn't it? So hang in. Try not to drink yourselves to death. Try not to get depressed. Go out for a walk. Go do something. Keep active. We'll get through it. It's not the end of the world. It just makes the victory so much sweeter. And that's what we have to get to. Hang tough. Hang together. And of course, not right now, But starting next season, go Yankees.